Muse from the Borderland. This is EPAS Unleashed. Hi everyone, welcome to EPAS Unleashed. My name is Jessica Navarro. I'm our education coordinator here at El Paso Animal Services. We're going to do a little Q&A with Mason that you saw in our first episode. So we did have a couple of people reach out with some questions that they wanted answered. So we're going to go ahead and get started with that. We do have quite a few, so let's see. Okay, so we have here, is it best to train consistently with one member of the family or incorporate all members?
I would say all members because, first of all, it's going to be fun for everybody in the family, especially for children to be involved in that kind of activity. It creates a bond with the animals and also with the rest of the family. But if you see it this way, what is the use of the dog being or performing behaviors just with you and not with everybody else?
Yes.
You want the animal to be able to generalize the behavior with everybody else. So I would say make it fun. Try to involve everybody in the family, grandma, grandpa, everybody that wants to be part of it. That way you can give your dog more tools to succeed. That way in the event of somebody else coming in, somebody new or a new member of the family, the dog might be able to and it's going to be easier for you. Plus, like I said, it's going to be fun for everybody.
Yeah, so getting used to all kinds of different sizes and, you know, genders and just everything, just having every member of the family participate is always great.
Treat it like a family activity. I mean, mm-hmm. some people do puzzles, some people watch Netflix together. Why not train your dog together with the rest of the family?
Yeah, okay, perfect. So we do have some questions here. We probably would need a little bit more information, but let's try and answer some of these. This one says, how to get dogs to be less aggressive with people?
Okay, so I'm going to try to generalize here, but generally you don't want dogs to be aggressive with people, period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If your dog is already showing aggression towards strangers or even family members, I would strongly suggest to reach out to a certified behaviorist or a dog trainer because that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs were domesticated by people and they are used to being around us. If they show aggression towards somebody, that's not okay. Now, there are different reasons why a dog would switch behavior.
Mm-hmm.
If you are asking this because your dog suddenly started to behave aggressively towards somebody, the first step is to check in with your vet because 80% of the time, behavior issues come from medical situations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an ear infection, urinary tract infection, something that is bothering the dog might create that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
However, like I stated before, if your dog is already being aggressive towards people, that's not okay.
Yeah.
So we do have some certified trainers that might be able to help you, or you can always reach out to us here at the shelter so we can refer you to somebody, but I would say that it's not normal. So you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Like I said, I will need more information so I can assess that specific problem, but
mm-hmm.
I would ask them to reach out to us.
Okay, yeah, so definitely reach out to us with more information about what's going on, and then we can go ahead and help you out with that. For this one, how do you handle a friendly but hyper dog when walking in the city? Should I let her greet people?
Okay, so I'm thinking in this case, again, I might need more information, but if the dog is friendly and is hyper, already picturing the dog jumping on the leash, jumping on people to say
mm-hmm.
hi, you know, all that kind of behaviors that might not be appropriate, especially some people don't like that. If they try to say hi to somebody in the street, the other person might not be welcoming of those kind
mm-hmm.
of behaviors. So what I would do is train the dog away from people first to teach him how to settle.
Mm-hmm.
Teach the dog to be calm and relaxed when introduced to new people or other scenarios. Like, it couldn't be just people, maybe other dogs and stuff like that.
Yes.
But you don't want to train the dog when the trigger is happening. So
mm-hmm.
in this case, the trigger will be new person. The dog is going crazy because
yeah.
they want to go say hi. They're going to start pulling on the leash. The more you pull back, the more they're going to pull
mm-hmm.
because the dog wants to say hi. When the dog is already in that hiding state, you're not going to be able to train him. So
yeah.
Like we said in the episode, it's important to train your dog before things happen to give them the tools that they need. So start first with the very first thing, which would be teach your dog to calm, to be calm, to be relaxed. There are different ways you can do it. My favorite thing to do is to teach a dog how to relax on a mat. Basically, you teach a dog that wherever you put a mat or a towel or any type of marker on the floor, the dog has to sit there and just stay there. With my dog Lila at home, when I was going to school, I would just put a towel on the floor and she would just sit there and
sit
for her. You want to teach a dog how to be calm before that happened, and then slowly introduce them to triggers through the distance. You're not going to take the dog right away after the dog realize how to settle, but you're going to start taking them to on the road, on other places. Take your mat with you, take your towel with you. Again, you can call us so we can try to help you with that. But if the dog wants to say hi and the other person is okay with that, I would say go for it. Just make sure that the dog is polite. The dog is calm. That way you're not feeding into that behavior and making it worse. Because like I said, you don't want that behavior to happen with somebody that might not be able to handle it. An elderly person, what if they trip them or something like that? Dogs like people in general. So I say, like, if you're okay with that, that shouldn't be an issue. Otherwise, just teach them how to be relaxed before meeting somebody new.
Yeah, and the key thing is that you feel comfortable too, right? I mean, you're the owner, you know your pet best. If somebody, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with that, it's okay to say no, right?
I mean, you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to interact with those without seeing here. Not to point fingers, but when you meet a new dog, the last thing you want to do is hug them or get too close to them. And I know they're beautiful and you just want to, like, basically
eat
them.
It's hard.
Some dogs don't like that. Some dogs might want to get close to you, but they might also feel a little bit, they don't know exactly what they want, so they might come close to you, but the moment you try to touch them, they're like, no, don't touch them.
Yes.
They're allowed to do that too. But the most important thing is, like, learn when it's a good time and when it's not.
Yeah.
And obviously the owners always advocate for your dog.
Yes, that's the most important thing. Okay, and then how do you socialize a new pet at home? I know we kind of touched on this in the episode, so if, you know, this person wants to go back, and if you haven't seen the episode, definitely recommend to listen into that episode. We do cover that with puppies, but I guess if you want to expand a little bit on this one.
I'm guessing that by socialization, they mean how to introduce them to new people, which is one of the things that people ask the most when they take them home. I would wait a few days to do that. I remember the dogs that come from the shelter, they're already too stressed, too frustrated, too much of everything. So you don't want to push them too soon, too fast.
Yeah.
Let them decompress, let them relax a little bit. I always advise fosters and poor adopters to take them home, put them in a room, spare room if you have it. Just let them be for a few days before you try to introduce them to new people. The key here will be, if you want to introduce them to strangers or even other family members, food. Just food. Chicken. Anything that is really, really tasty and yummy. So whenever the dog sees a new person, introduced to a new person, there's that socialization of making it something rewarding for them. So try to use an item of food that you don't use often. Don't use the same kibble that you feed them. It has to be something more high value. So it means more for the dog. So like chicken for strangers, or for that Uncle Bob that nobody likes, he comes to say hi once in a while and he's never gonna see except for that one day out of the year. Give Uncle Bob something really tasty and yummy to give to the dog. That would be a good first step. Obviously there's more nuances to it, so go back to the episode to learn about socialization. But if the question meant, like, how to introduce them, I think that's the best way.
Okay.
Use food. Always.
Yeah. Even for humans, too. I think that works. Okay, so this question, another one we probably need a little bit more information on, but they're stating they have an outdoor cat, and I guess they want to introduce a new dog, but they're scared that the dog might chase and hurt. So how do they do this outdoors when there's no way to separate? This one, I mean, we do have we did just post a pretty good dog to cat meet and greet. Introduction. So I would suggest to look at that. But did you want to expand a little bit on that?
It will be a little bit harder because if we're talking about an outdoor cat, They're probably already used to seeing dogs as aggressive because either they chase them, bark at them. So if you don't have to, I wouldn't do it, especially because, like they stated, there's no way to really separate them. But in that case, you have to ask yourself, am I doing this for me or for the animals? If the reason is you don't want the dog to chase the cat, just make sure to keep the dog tethered when he's outside. I think that's the safest way to go about it. Because otherwise, like I said, if it's a cat that is already used to being outside, chances are they don't like dogs already.
Yeah.
So you cannot force them. It's not going to work out. Just play it safe. That will be my best advice. Just play it safe to make sure that both the kitty and the dog are safe. Leashes are your best friend. That way you can make sure that they're at least coexisting. They don't have to be best friends because what are the chances of them ever sharing spaces?
Yes.
But at least they're gonna be safe.
Okay. And then this is a big one. How can you help separation anxiety for COVID puppies?
All right. So that's the reason why most dog trainers are getting rich right now. We know that with COVID, a lot of people adopted dogs. Yes. Most of them were puppies, unfortunately, because we were stay at home. The animals didn't get socialized, and all that. So let me just start with, there's a big difference between separation anxiety and isolation distress.
Okay.
The difference being that separation anxiety is a clinical condition that has to be diagnosed by a vet, by behaviorist. So I cannot diagnose that because there's a generalized anxiety that attacks the animal in that case. Sometimes medication is necessary to be able to get the dog to a mental state where the dog is going to calm down so behavior modification can happen. So. If we're talking about separation anxiety, there are people that are certified, preparing, super, super qualified to deal with that. We have a person in Albuquerque that is really, really good, professional in the field that can help with that. And I would refer you to that person because, again, since we're talking about generalized anxiety, sometimes medication is necessary for it, which I'm not qualified to give. Isolation distress, however, or isolation anxiety is a little bit different because the dog just doesn't want to be alone. More than likely, all you have to do is make sure to keep the dog entertained, do a lot of enrichment, keep the dog's mind occupied to be able to help with that. It doesn't matter like who leaves the room, sometimes the dogs start freaking out because they don't want to be alone. It's very different from separation anxiety. But my biggest advice for that person, if they already are, the dog is showing very, very serious symptoms. We're talking about harming themselves, trying to get out of the kennel, breaking doors, breaking windows, things that are very, very, very severe. I would really advise that person to get in touch with us so we can go ahead and refer them to the certified separation anxiety trainer that can help with that, because like I said, it's generalized anxiety. It's basically like a person having a panic attack. So for somebody that suffers anxiety, depression, any of those things, sometimes medication is necessary. So we can go ahead and help them with that and refer them to that person. Now, isolation distress, like I said, all you have to do is make sure to keep the dog entertained, do a lot of enrichment, make sure to meet their needs. We can also help with that as well, but it's going to take a little bit. So if the person or the dog is already suffering through it, just reach out to us so we can refer you to somebody that can help you with that. For general purposes, for everybody else, usually separation anxiety has a process where the animal has to be conditioned to be left alone for short periods of time, obviously with the help of medication, 5 minutes first, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It just really depends on how far the animal can go at a time.
Okay.
It's a process, but it can be done. So if that person, again, like I said, if they're unfortunately going through this, just reach out to us so we can refer you to that trainer.
Okay, awesome. So if anybody has any other questions, I mean, we're more than willing to answer, but that's the end of our little Q&A sesh. We hope that you do, you know, subscribe, like, comment, and stay tuned for our next episode. It's going to be a really good one, so we'll see you soon.